Today is October 30th, and the title for today's post is, "For His Compassions Never Fail, They Are New Every Morning." Today's scripture readings come from the following four passages. The Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 1 through 66. Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Psalm 102, verses 1 through 28. And the Book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verses 21 and 22. Jeremiah's lamentations for his people and his beloved city of Jerusalem continue. But just when it seems that he is utterly inconsolable, Jeremiah shifts gears and we see a silver lining to the dark cloud. He says in verse 19, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." And with these lines, Jeremiah restores his faith in the Lord and utters some of the most memorable lines of this book. He says in verse 22, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young." Jeremiah goes on to offer words of hope in these lines as well. He says in verse 31, "For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone." We turn now to our New Testament reading and find ourselves starting a new book titled Hebrews, the author of which is unknown, although it is commonly ascribed to Paul. The author starts out this book, which appears to have a Jewish Christian audience, by addressing the person of Christ as being superior to all prophets and angels. God, in his inconceivable prescience, has so ordained it that we mere mortals are the beneficiaries of the plan of salvation through the person and the office of Christ Jesus. It is not the angels who are fortunate to be awarded this great gift. It is the fall of man that necessitated this alternate plan of salvation that hinges on pure faith and grace. We have nothing to envy the angels about. The writer says in verse 14, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Having so established the superiority of Christ over the prophets, likewise, the writer alludes to the superiority of the new covenant of which Christ is the mediator between God and man, over the old covenant between God and the children of Israel. Next, we turn to our reading of the Psalms and find one in which the psalmist is most dejected, and yet, in all humility, he acknowledges the omnipotence of the Almighty in these words, even as he says, "Do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you." Finally, a couple verses from the book of Proverbs in which Solomon, wise king of Israel, speaks to the evils of a quarrelsome person and a gossip. He says in verse 21, "As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife." And in verse 22, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost parts." May God bless the reading and reflection of His word. Amen.